liking that.
It's time for Weekend Wrap-Up and Monday Night Madness on Beyond the Airwaves, The Infinity Project.
Good evening, everybody. It's Monday night. You know what that means? It's time for another long week. Yeah, too bad. But you know what they say. It was the best of Shires. It was the worst of Shires.
I had to do that. I love you.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. Somebody posted it somewhere. It's like, oh, I'm sharing that one. Because it's a picture of the best of Shires. And then on the bottom says, it was the Worcester Shire. The Worcester Shire sauce. It's like, oh, crap. All right, well, anyway, Melissa's Beyond the Airwaves, The Infinity Project. And because it's money, that means it's time for Weekend Wrap-Up and Monday Night Madness. I'm your host for tonight. I am Oddball Extreme. I'm currently joined on the line by two of my crazy cohorts. First, we have Red Ranger Tim. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, madame.
We also have our AZ musician on the line. Good evening to you, madame.
Hello, 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 hello. I just hope everybody's happy today. I know I am.
That's good.
And I say, if I'm happy, everybody else has got to be happy for the most part. I know
well,
that can't happen, so what am I saying? I know everybody can't be happy.
Yeah. Oh, well, you just try to do the best you can.
Yeah, I know.
And well, anyway, the deluge has started here in Montgomery. In other words, it's supposed to be raining like off and on with heavy rainfall most of this week.
They already got a flood warning out.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. I was able to get a lot of things in at work, but thanks to having something wrong with the recycle machine outside, I couldn't get my recyclables out to the bin.
Oops.
Oh, hiss.
Oh, my.
And unfortunately, because it's raining, I won't be able to do that for a few days because of the simple fact we have a golden rule at work. No work, no going out, no taking the stuff outside when it's rainy because that stuff outside can get very slippery. You know, safety hazard.
Yeah, you really don't want to fall flat on your ass, do you?
No. And on top of that, I am like a 7 or 8 time member of the safety committee at my job.
Oh, you really don't want that?
No. It's like, I ain't doing it because, like, it's like somebody told me the rule. It's like when the former plant manager was there, he said no one wants to go out in the rain, and we've never done it, even after he retired. Because it's just because I feel like I'm not risking it. All right. So what do you say? How about let's see. We'll do the box office first. Then we'll just name all the Oscar winners because I didn't watch all of it.
Well, Oscars. I will tell you this much: the Oscars, the winner for Best Picture was one heck of a top surprise. Because it was not an American movie that won the Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, it was a South Korean.
That's all I'm going to say. You could carry on and read it.
Yeah. But forsooth, it was a South Korean movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, so
okay,
go on.
Something's not... Okay, hold on. I'm trying to get to the... No, I want by the weekend, not by the year. There we go. Okay. All right. So you know what we do. We always do the top five and then the bottom of the heap.
Yep.
Okay, so here we go. The top five, Birds of Prey. Now, I'm going to explain something because the title has been changed. Okay?
Oh, what?
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'll explain that. I'll explain that in a couple minutes. But anyway, Birds of Prey was at the top, but it did not do as well as expected. It only made $33 million. As the number one movie.
What was their
budget? I have to find out because I really don't know. What was the budget? The budget was $84.5 million.
And
not
how
as big
much
as
did
I
they
thought.
Make?
33.
Not quite.
Got a little work to do. Of course, the question is, and this is going to sound stupid, I'm going to be honest, I think Sonic the Hedgehog next week may have a better chance.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. In other words, maybe. Yeah, Birds of Prey opened up with $33 million. Number two movie is Bad Boys for Life. It had been number one for 3 weeks.
It's still in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bad Boys for Life just dropped one and number two. Let's see. And then 1917 dropped from number two to number three with $9.2 million. Number four movie was Doolittle with $6.5 million. And number five, incredibly, it is still in the top five, Jumanji the Next Level.
You're kidding.
Oh,
wow.
Staying power. That has got some staying power to be in the top five. Yep, $5.55 million, and it's made almost $300 million altogether.
Oh,
that's
not
pretty
bad.
Good. No,
One that they weren't expecting to make it.
No, but boy, I mean, that movie's got some staying power. It's been consistent at number five, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, but now we get to the fun part, the low scores, the really
the stinkers.
Bad. Yeah.
The stinkers.
All right, here's the fun part. Six of these movies are below $1,000. Two movies are below $100. One is below $50.
Oh, yeah. That one gets the triple foghorn.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest loser.
Yep.
All right.
So, ready or not, here we go. The first one is Lore, $844. Next up is Zombie
Ooh.
Child, $776.
Zombie Child sounds like something that'd get riffed on Riff Tracks.
It wouldn't surprise me if it did. Let's see. We have Recorder, The Marion Stokes Project, $538. Then we have Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice, $373, which is actually up 87.4%. Go figure. But then it's showing in only one theater.
Well, then I wouldn't consider that bad if one theater's all it's showing at.
Yeah, I just know it was one. Let's see. Now here's the fun part. Advocate, $61. And that ain't the lowest.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because now here it is. It's time to announce the winner, or should
drum
I say
roll,
the loser?
Roll,
all right, the loser for this week is Be Natural, The Untold Story of Alice Guy Blaché. The score on that one was a mere $20. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, 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 oh.
Time for the triple. And that's so bad, I'm going to give it the loser horns. The Price is Right loser horn as well.
Shut up! $20!
$20.
So that
yep.
means if the tickets were $4,
five people saw it.
Only five people saw it. Only five people.
Yeah. If it was $20 and the tickets were $4 a piece, that means only five people saw it.
Exactly.
I feel sorry for the producers of those low ones.
Yeah. The funny thing is, Linda Ross said The Sound of My Voice, that movie was on CNN recently, too. So.
Well, maybe that's why it did so low.
Yeah, because most people can see it on TV also.
Uh-huh.
All right, now, Let's not get into the story about what's going on with the Birds of Prey movie itself. As you know, the original title of the movie is supposed to be Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Well, maybe the title was too long, because now they changed it to simply Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. That's it.
I wonder why.
Oh, my.
Well, maybe. I'm going to put it in both chats, and I'm going to tell you. And I double-checked to make sure it was verified, and I'm happy to say it is. All right. Okay, so here is what happened to this. And this is IGN, and I do verify this one. Birds of Prey gets new title, putting the spotlight on Harley Quinn. It's a little more to the point. Warner Brothers has changed the title of the latest DC movie, Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, is now called Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. The title change is already reflected on movie ticketing sites across the web. While Warner didn't release a statement about why they made the change, it's presumably part of a strategy to help the film perform better at the box office when it had the after it had the lowest opening weekend for any DCEU movie to date. So let's see. IGN reached out to WB for comment and will update the story with any information we learn. Anyway, Harley Quinn is immensely popular compared to the likes of Huntress, Renee Montoya, and Black Canary, so it makes sense why Warner Brothers would pivot in an attempt to cash in on the character's name recognition. Instead of
Can I ask you a question, Shirley?
Yes. Yes.
Was it Renee Montoya? Wasn't there an Officer Montoya in Batman the Animated Series?
Yes.
I wonder if it's the same Renee Montoya.
They probably made this Renee a little bit different. She's got more of an attitude from what I hear. So.
Okay.
Pardon me,
sir.
I'll get some water. Hold on a second. All right. Let's see. Instead of burying her name at the end of an obscenely long title, causing many people to not even include her name when referring to the movie, it has now been moved to the front. The absurd original title was very much in character for Harley Quinn, but it seems the studio wants to eschew that in favor of being crystal clear with viewers. Not to mention, Harley Quinn is the star of the film, with the Birds of Prey acting as supporting characters in her wild and zany narrative, so this new title better reflects that. The Joker, of course, is not included in the movie, but Ewan McGregor plays Black Mask and so forth. That's all I know, but that's the story. So it will not be Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn anymore.
Okay, I can understand the reasoning. I would have a hard time remembering all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me go back to. I want to find that. What is it? Longest album title. There we go. It makes me go back to that. Ah, here it is. Let's see. Yeah, Chumbawamba in 2008, I think has the world record for the longest. Let me see. Record for the longest.
Longest album title.
Yeah. Bear with me, Growl. Oh, here we go. The longest album titles in music history. Just out of curiosity. Let's see.
Oh, shit.
Not here to Trek Squad. Oh, here's some good. Yeah, I love some of these titles. Coheed and Cambria, Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4, Volume 1, From Fear Through the Eyes of Madness.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there's the 1975, I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful, Yet So Unaware of It. Then there's Happy Mondays, Squirrel and G-Man, 24-Hour Party People, Plastic Face, Cart Smile, Whiteout. Oh boy, Tyrannosaurus Rex. My people were fair and had sky in their hair, but now they're content to wear stars on their brows.
T-Rex?
Yeah, Tyrannosaurus Rex, yeah. It's a band.
Well, there was a glitter rock band called T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the same one.
Yeah, let's see. From 2008, Marnie Stern with This Is It, and I Am It, and You Are It, and So Is That, and He Is It, and She Is It, and It Is It, and That Is That. Say that five
times.
What?
That would be a very confusing song title, album title.
All right. Now we have Bring Me the Horizon from 2010. There is a hell. Believe me, I've seen it. There is a heaven. Let's keep it a secret. Okay.
Why would you want to keep heaven a secret?
I don't know. Then we have Mew with No More Stories Are Told Today. I'm Sorry They Washed Away. No More Stories. The World Is Gray. I'm Tired. Let's Wash Away.
Okay. You said Mew? Where's Mew,
yeah.
too?
I don't know.
Oh, my.
I didn't think I'd catch that, did you?
Yeah, let's see. We also have China Crisis with Difficult Shapes and Passive Rhythms. Some people think it's fun to entertain. Okay. Let's see. Then there's Frank Sidebottom Salutes the Magic of Freddie Mercury and Queen, and also Kylie Minogue. You know, her off neighbors.
Oh, my.
All right. And let's see. There's this one. Soul Wax. This is the title. Most of the remixes we've made for other people over the years, except for the one for Einstürzende Neubauten, because we lost it, and a few we didn't think sounded good enough or just didn't fit in lengthwise, but including some that are hard to find because either people forgot about them or simply because they haven't been released yet. A few we really love, one we think
Holy
is just okay.
Shit.
It ain't over yet. Some we did for free, some we did for money, some for ourselves without permission, and some for friends at Swaps, but never on time, and always at our studio in Ghent.
Oh, I'm not going to ask you to run that by me again.
No, because guess what? It ain't the longest.
Oh, frack.
Oh, boy.
All right, here it is. This is one of my favorite ones. Fiona Apple. When the pond hit
what happened to the gate?
What
Fiona
no,
Apple.
Fiona
gate?
Apple.
What?
No, that's Christina.
I know, but what happened
Apple
to the gate?
Never mind. Okay. Fiona Apple. When the pawn hits the conflicts, he thinks like a king. What he knows throws the blows when he goes to the fight, and he'll win the whole thing. For he enters the ring, there's nobody to batter when your mind is your might. So when you go solo, you hold your own hand, and remember that death is the greatest of heights. And if you know where you stand, then you know where to land. And if you fall, it won't matter, because you know that you're right. That's the name of the whole album.
Okay. Holy shit, take two.
Yeah, well, guess what? Oh, Eyeshine's in the chat room. Hey, Eyeshine.
Hi, Eyeshine.
Guess what? Guess what? Fiona Apple had the world record until Chumbawamba came along. So, listen to this.
Did Chumbawamba do something?
Yes.
Okay.
Except
so.
I can't read the album because, oh, get out of here, Ad. There. This is Chumbawamba's title. The boy bands have won, and all the copyists and the tribute bands and the TV talent show producers have won if we allow our culture to be shaped by mimicry, whether from lack of ideas or from exaggerated respect. You should never try to freeze culture. What you can do is recycle that culture. Take your older brother's hand-me-down jacket and restyle it. Refashion it to the point where it becomes your own. But don't just regurgitate creative history or hold art and music and literature as fixed, untouchable, and kept under glass. The people who try to guard any particular form of music are, like the copyists and manufactured bands, doing it the worst disservice, because the only thing that you can do to music that will damage it is not change it, not make it your own, because then it dies, then it's over, then it's done, and the boy bands have won. That is the entire title.
Oh, my.
So they actually have the world record.
Yeah. Didn't Chumbawamba do an album called Tub Thumping?
Yes,
they did.
I
Boy.
Get knocked down, but I get it up again.
Yeah. You're never going to get it down.
Yep, exactly.
Are they rap or hip-hop
no,
or what?
No. Yeah, kind of hip hop-ish. Yeah, more not like hip hop-ish, but
okay.
And it's also the type of tune you'd hear in a sports stadium too.
Whoop! There it is.
Whoop! There it is.
Whoops! There it went. Kidding.
Don't.
All right.
No, but ah, damn it.
What's the matter?
I fucked up.
Oh, well.
Fuck.
Oh,
sorry,
my.
Trolls.
All right. Now, I posted this one yesterday because there's something interesting today. And we have all this weather going on. Well, guess what? The National Weather Service today is 150 years old.
You're kidding.
Oh, wow.
I did not know that. It has been in existence for 150 years, since 1870.
1870?
Yep. But Dr. Marshall Shepard has brought up a good point here in this article he wrote for Forbes. He's a regular Forbes contributor. And, you know, like I said, he's the host of Weather Geeks. I do trust this guy. He's very good. But anyway, here's the question he asked. If a TV meteorologist or app didn't say it, did the weather happen?
It's just so like if you don't see a bear do its business in the woods, does a bear still shit in the woods?
Mm-hmm. Right. Now this is in Dr. Shepard's words. The article may be a bit deceiving. However, three things happened this week that inspired my thoughts this Sunday morning. Now, he wrote it yesterday. One, severe weather rolled into North Georgia on Thursday and stranded many kids at bus stops during tornado warnings. Two, a quick snowstorm blasted through the Atlanta area on Saturday, which is true. Three, the National Weather Service celebrated its 150th anniversary. Well, it was yesterday, but I thought the calendar said today. Oh, well. Let's see. In all these cases, I realized something about how the public consumes weather information. For some people, it may be a realistic assertion that if they didn't hear a specific weather forecast or warning from their favorite TV meteorologist or app, it wasn't supposed to happen or the forecast was wrong. As odd as that sounds, I hear this all the time. Let's explore this further. And you can also comment on his Twitter page. Yes, he does have a Twitter account, too. I follow it. Okay, this all started when I posted something on my Facebook page, pushing back on a friend's comment that there was little warning about severe weather threats in Atlanta Thursday. The National Weather Service Atlanta had been issuing information about the weather threat for days. My wife, Ayana Shepherd, is a pretty straight-to-the-point type of person. Her comments below were something of a wake-up call. You know that a lot of people don't resonate with what you are saying about the National Weather Service. You and I know that they are the source of weather information and warnings. However, the average person is not going to the National Weather Service page, Twitter feed, or Facebook page. They are waiting to hear it from their TV meteorologist or on their app. This could be a big mistake.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In that moment, I realized my wife was right. A similar experience yesterday further affirmed her point. I saw a comment from a Facebook friend suggesting that the forecasted timing and intensity of the Atlanta snowstorms on Saturday was misleading. When I probed a bit deeper and shared that the National Weather Service issued a winter weather advisory the prior day, her response was that the meteorologist she heard didn't seem to convey the level of snow falling and that it would end earlier that morning. The reality is that people interpret information differently. I always caution weather professionals about these types of things. I saw a few colleagues and weather friends posting about our winter weather advisory, but without context. Without such context as provided by the National Weather Service graphic below, many people have no idea what an advisory means in terms of snow totals. By the way, the snow pretty much ended right around the time the National Weather Service advisory stated. And here's what it said on the actual advisory.
Okay, you are about to answer my question.
Yeah. All right, this is what they had on the map. Winter weather advisory. What? Accumulating snow possible. When? 6 a.m. to 12 noon Saturday. Amounts. Less than 1 inch snow north and northeast metro. 1 to 2 inches Gainesville, Canton, LJ, and northeast. And then 2 to 3 inches higher elevations of North Georgia. And it ended right about 12 noon. So, let's see. While I have always implicitly known about this public, the events of this week and my wife's common sense thoughts were revealing. Everyone is not as weather attentive as me or weather friends. We cannot expect things that are crystal clear to us to be obvious to someone that just wants bottom line information on how it is going to impact them. The National Weather Service is one of the biggest values in the federal government. With its approximately $1 billion budget, it provides life-saving, property-protecting forecasts and warnings that affect daily life, the economy, transportation, agriculture, public health, emergency management, water delivery, energy production, national security, and more. We receive all of that for about the cost of a cup of coffee per U.S. citizen. My friend and colleague Dr. Louis Ussolini, the director of the National Weather Service, notes this. Today's National Weather Service is built upon a long history of dedicated employees committed to their mission of providing data, observations, forecasts, and warnings of weather, water, and climate events to save lives, protect property, and enhance the national economy. As we celebrate our 150th anniversary, and NOAA its 50th, wow, that's a shock, we have much to document, collect, preserve, and share, along with our partners in the weather enterprise and the academic, research, and technology communities who have helped us along the way. To most of the U.S. public, the National Weather Service is like a car engine, commuter motherboard, or steel frame of a building. You don't see it out front most of the time, but their importance is unmistakable. Excuse me just a second.
If it wasn't for the National Weather Service, NOAA, etc., all those places that were hit by the hurricanes, there would be
deaths
a
lot
more
higher.
It would be a lot more deaths than what there were.
Yep. Let's see. I am
guessing
that most people have not. Yeah. Anyway, on back to the article. I am guessing that most people have not stopped to consider that models, satellites, radars, observations, and other resources for weather forecasting come primarily from the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service offices and specialty centers like the National Hurricane Center also issue watches, warnings, and advisories. Our TV partners and private companies provide the broader dissemination mechanisms and interpretations that are meaningful to the public, clients, or stakeholders. Most of my colleagues on television are degreed meteorologists or have significant training in weather communication. They are critical for providing interpretations of meteorological information. However, we don't always see them or have access to them. Increasingly, many people also consume weather information from apps. However, these apps are still ingest and disseminate information that comes from the National Weather Service and its various resources. I went to Twitter to see the number of followers for the National Weather Service Atlanta office. It currently stands at a little over 31,000, a respectable number. That Twitter feed and its Facebook companion site was putting out excellent warning in the information in the days leading up to the events in our area. By contrast, the combined number of the various TV meteorologists in the Atlanta market on the order of 100,000 followers. The Weather Channel has 3.6 million followers. Even small regional efforts like Athens GA Weather have significant social media followings. My point is not that people should be dismissive of valuable media partners. They are essential decoders of complex weather information and have immediate access to the airways in rapidly changing weather conditions. Weather apps, in my opinion, are not optimal in such situations. Studies have shown that a trusted voice is still desirable during threatening weather situations, so please value your broadcast meteorologist and stop whining when they break into your favorite show or game. Thank you.
Touche.
However, I do encourage you
no
to stop
touche.
What you were doing. Yep. However, I do encourage you to stop what you were doing and find your local National Weather Service office and follow them on all of your social media outlets. Mine, of course, is in Birmingham, which I will still follow more than NOAA. Especially after Sharpie Gate. Yep. And remember, just because
you still haven't forgiven them, have you?
Not completely, no. And remember, just because you missed the forecast or didn't hear it from your favorite source of weather, it doesn't mean that it wasn't forecasted. True.
And you know what? You know what? If you don't have access to an app or you're away from TV, you know what your best weather weather thing is?
What?
Your eyes.
Yeah, true.
You know, because not everybody has access to apps.
That's true.
Or television.
Right.
You remember the scene in Twister when they stopped at the hotel and Bill Paxton's character is standing out by the side of the road. He's just looking around.
Mm-hmm.
was using his eyes to take in the weather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rather than his gear. It's the same thing. People have eyes.
Yep, exactly. Be observant.
Right, because, and I will admit it, I use my apps a lot. But especially on something important like that, people are relying on their phone apps too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because technology can break down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now... Yeah, now, of course, you know, we had Kirk Douglas. No, yeah, Kirk Douglas died last Wednesday. Well, a few days later on Saturday, Robert Conrad died. I actually thought he had died years ago. I don't know why. But, yes, Robert Conrad, who was on Baba Black Sheep, Hawaiian Eye, Wild West. It was the spokesperson for the Ever Ready Batteries.
What? Now, I don't remember seeing that.
I do. In fact, I can go find it on YouTube real quick. Somebody had found two commercials that he was in. One from 1977 and one from 1978. I know I got up my history. So bear with me. Well, here it is. Here's the first one.
Princess, what's your problem, huh? Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right. All right. I'm putting it in both chats, so.
I can check them out once the show's over.
Yeah, that's fine. Come on. I dare you.
What was that?
No, that was what Robert Conrad said at the end of the commercial. So, but yeah, it was sad he's gone. Then I found out Fred Silverman, the longtime TV producer, he died back on January 30th. So it's like,
What about Orson Bean?
Yeah, that's right, Orson Bean.
Orson Bean, yeah.
Yep, Orson Bean. He was struck and killed by a car.
All right, Grim. All right, Mr. Reaver. Leave our people alone.
Especially one person we all love. And if you don't
Honey
know
Badger.
What I mean by this,
I'm sorry, sweetie. Honey Badger doesn't give a shit.
You know what? I thought that she would have been the next one after Robert Conrad, but I was thankfully wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no, no.
He's not allowed to take her.
No.
2021 and 2022 aren't allowed to either.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah, someone's saying this is running another 2016.
So that's how many so far? Orson Bean, Robert Conrad, Fred Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn it. Kirk Douglas?
Yeah.
That's about four
that's
or five.
Right, I can remember. Yeah. Okay. I've got to read this story. This is one of those that's going to make you laugh your ass off, literally. All right. This is the title. Right-wing activist wants to sue the NFL because the halftime show put me in danger of hellfire.
I laughed when I saw that after you posted it, Cheryl.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I spread that thing. Oh, God, I'm laughing my ass off reading this.
Go ahead.
Like, are you serious?
Oh, God, why are people... Why are all the people at the bottom of the gene pool coming out?
That's a good question. All right. So this is out of West Palm Beach. This year's Super Bowl halftime show with Shakira and Jennifer Lopez has stirred controversy among many, but one man has taken it to another level. Dave Dalbenmeyer, a former Central Ohio high school football coach and right-wing activist, said on his webcast that he wants to sue the NFL over how the show is keeping him from getting into heaven and that it put him in danger of hellfire, the New York Daily News reported. Good God, I'm laughing already.
If he didn't like it, why in the hell didn't he just walk away at halftime?
I didn't even watch the halftime show.
Turn the channel.
Yeah, you see, I didn't even watch it, so I have no clue.
Neither did I.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl at all.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he said, I saw crotch shots. You didn't tell me I was going to watch it, he said. You just brought it into my living room. You didn't tell me there were going to be crotch shots. Dalbenmeyer wants to file a class action lawsuit for, oh my God, $867 trillion. As compensation for the crotch shots, conservative viewers were forced to watch, according to the New York Daily News. That's discriminatory against the values I have in my house. You just can't do that, he said. I want to sue them. I want to sue them for about $867 trillion. Dalbenmeyer posted another video to Facebook last Monday emphasizing his desire to sue. I tuned in to watch the football game, he said in the video. I didn't tune in to see J-Lo's crotch. Of course, you know what's going to happen.
He's going to get
laughed
out
of the courtroom.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. He says, and to quote what you just said, I was forced to watch. You're not forced to watch anything. You have the ability to change the channel. If you have the ability to change the channel, you aren't forced to watch it.
Yep.
Or get up and walk out of the room during halftime.
Mm-hmm.
You got two fucking legs.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, lucky me, I never even watched the halftime show, so I didn't really
I was only
that
trying
much.
To watch it for the commercials.
Yeah, well, thankfully
I
saw most of
it at all.
Yeah. But at least the game turned out to be a good football game anyway.
Yeah. But, oh, God. He's going to be laughing. The judge is going to laugh him right out of the courtroom.
Yeah, the judge is going to say, you want to sue the NFL for this much, for this. I'm dismissing the case. Get him out of here.
That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
I doubt it even gets before a judge.
Yep. All right. Here's something else I was not completely aware of. Today is the 80th anniversary of Tom and Jerry.
Ooh.
You're kidding.
Nope. Their first appearance was today in 1940.
Wow. You want to know the last Tom and Jerry cartoon I saw?
What's that?
The one where they're musketeers.
Ah, yes. I remember that one.
Yes, and the little mouse. The little mouse, he goes after Tom. And he jabs him at Tom in the rear end with his sword.
Mm-hmm.
Touché, pussycat.
Touché, pussycat.
Yes.
That was so
that
adorable.
One was cute. And then there's the ones with the Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Spike and his son.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorites.
Yeah.
And the funniest one had to be when Tom fell victim to the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Had to wear a diaper and drink a baby bottle.
Oh, I remember the castor well at the end.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like, ooh, they both got it. Jerry unintentionally.
Yeah, well, let's see. Here's something interesting. Let's see. Tom and Jerry turns 80 today, but turning 15 years old, two in a week from Friday, February 21st, the cartoon series Avatar: The Last Airbender. It'll be 15 this year already.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Damn.
Yep. Definitely still considered one of Nickelodeon's finest cartoons ever. But That, I mean, it's amazing. There are so many tunes. Let's see. Gem turns 35. Mass turns 35. Thunderbirds is 55 this year. So.
I agree with what you said. What happened to the 45-second rule for acceptance speeches?
Yeah, that was what got annoying. And you know what I haven't been doing? I haven't been, I've been reading the Oscar winners for 2020. You know that?
Yeah. This has got a little sidetracked.
Yeah. Well, the good news is I'm just going to read the list and be done with it. Okay, so. All right, so. I'm just going to say who won what. Best Picture, the surprise was Parasite, first ever foreign film to win Best Picture.
Is that
okay, good.
Dwayne Brady in the new costume?
Yes. Yes,
wow.
It's Dwayne Brady.
Hard to believe. He's got hair.
Oh, my.
Yep. Yeah, but anyway, Best Picture.
I've got very large, hairy. Blank.
Knuckles.
Oh, Knuckles.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I have very large, hairy blank.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, anyway, Parasite was the winner of the Best Picture. Joaquin Phoenix won for Best Actor for Joker. I was not surprised at that one. Brad Pitt, Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's his first acting Oscar. Let's see. Renee Zellweger, she won for Best Actress for Judy. Laura Dern won for Marriage Story. Best Director went to, oh God, I hope I pronounced this guy's name right, Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, first South Korean director to win. Let's see. Best Original Music Score was Hildur Guðnadóttir, which I believe she's from Iceland. So, let's see. Best Animated Feature was Toy Story 4. I was kind of hoping it'd be a different one because, you know, I get tired of the Disney movies right away. Best Foreign Language Film, Parasite. Best Original Screenplay, Han Jin Won for Parasite. I probably mispronounced the name. All right. Best Documentary Feature, American Factory. Best Adapted Screenplay, Taika Waititi for Jojo Rabbit.
Waititi? Okay.
Yeah. Waititi, yeah. He's from, I forgot what country he's from, but I think it's from one of those islands. Best Original Song, I'm Gonna Love Me Again, Elton John. From Rocket Man. Best Cinematography, Roger Deakins for 1917. Best Sound Mixing, Stuart Wilson, also for the movie 1917. Let me see. Okay, bear with me, Growl. Alright, Best Visual
Woof.
Effect, 1917. Best Costume Design, Jacqueline Duran for Little Women. Okay. Best Production Design is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Best Animated Short Film is Hair Love, M.A. Cherry, and Karen Rupert Tolliver. And the reason why this is a little significant, Matthew A. Cherry is a former NFL player.
Oh, my.
And at the end of his speech, I remember this, he had dedicated the award to Kobe Bryant, who had won the award 2 years ago. So, all right, best live action short film was The Neighbor's Window. Best film editing was Ford versus Ferrari. Best makeup and hairstyling, Bombshell. Best sound editing, Ford versus Ferrari. And finally, best short documentary, Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, there's more. I can't read it. Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if You're a Girl.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Yeah. What?
Excuse me. I'll excuse you.
Thank you. Yeah, but, you know, The first thing that threw me off right away, when Brad Pitt said this, and I quote, no, probably not the exact quote, he said, "All right, I only got 45 seconds, which is more time than what the Senate gave John Bolton this week." It's like, is it any wonder the viewership's gone down over the years? Let's see. All right, Oscars viewership 2020. I know it was down. Okay, the 2020 Oscars ceremony was watched by the smallest audience the award show has ever received. 23.6 million viewers tuned in on Sunday night to see Parasite sweep to a surprise victory. That's a 20% 6 million viewer drop off from last year.
That, you know what? Can you hear me still?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like, why is it supposed to be the movies, not the doggone oh, you know what I'm trying to say, don't you?
Yeah. Don't worry, we got it.
I hope so.
Mhm. Yeah, but honestly, it. I mean, I feel like all these award shows are now becoming nothing more than political platforms. It's like, look, you're supposed to get any award, just accept the award. They don't even care. Go on. Okay. Seriously. Oh yes, and tomorrow. Tomorrow is primary day in New Hampshire.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. New Hampshire gets the distinction of being the first state primary in the country to start establishing the front runners for who could be running against Donald Trump in November. And speaking of which, he thinks he's clever, right? He went to New Hampshire today and did his own rally to fire up a crowd. It's like, does he like to do this at every Democrat state, or is he going to do this at every rally? I doubt it. Seriously. But I'll tell you, something ticks me off when someone says, "Oh, Donald Trump has a chance to be president for life." It's like, no, he does not. 22nd.
Oh, don't even mention that asshole to me. He's coming to Arizona. He's coming to Phoenix on Friday.
I feel sorry for you.
I do as well.
And by the way, he's gone after my senator, Doug Jones, too. You know, for voting for the impeachment. But Doug had a nice little comeback. He said, "Well, thank you. I didn't realize my weight mattered, but you know, thanks to you, it did. And also, thanks for signing the 14 bipartisan bills that I helped pass."
What?
Yeah. You see, here's the problem I have. Okay. Doug Jones is a Democrat. But that means people are going to automatically assume, oh, he's for the side that wants illegal immigration. He's the side that wants killing babies. It's like, he has never said anything about it. Seriously. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, my primary is March 3rd, which is also Tuesday, because voting's always on Tuesday.
I have no idea.
Who.
Mm-hmm. And I blanked.
You know.
And that includes for the traitorous senators who couldn't do the right thing for humanity.
Yeah, let's see. Bernie Sanders is leading probably polls in New Hampshire. They haven't opened the poll. They haven't opened up the voting just yet. So, because doing that would be illegal. That would be illegal.
It would.
Yep. Okay, here's an interesting question. Your wedding is being planned by the cast of the last show you watched. Who's planning your wedding?
Live PD.
Okay.
That was the last show I watched before the news. Live PD.
Mm-hmm.
Let's Does that see. Count?
Yeah, I would think so. Oh, here's some answers I found. The crew on Green Acres.
Oh, my.
America's Got Talent. Let's see. Oh, mine would be, let's see, your wedding would be planned by the cast of the last show you watched. Mine would be Black Lightning. Yeah, I'm nuts. I'm completely nuts.
Oh, my. Oh, dear.
But, yes, that means, and the best thing is, they all work in Georgia, so I don't have to go that far.
Oh, dear.
Hmm. Let's see. Ooh. If anybody's a fan of Wendy's, let's see, I'll have to check this confirmed. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Wendy's owner gives big to Trump while refusing farm workers' demands. Not good.
Fuck Trump and fuck Wendy's.
Yep.
It's been a long time since I've had a Wendy's hamburger.
Especially Trump.
Yep. Oh, this is going to make you feel good. Alaska will no longer allow workers with disabilities to be paid less than minimum wage.
Yay.
Yay.
And this is posted today. So this is a good news story, because let's face it, you know what seriously needs to be done? Get the damn minimum wage raised, period. Yeah, Eyeshine said, I never watched the award shows. They've become so political lately. Amen. You're right. Okay.
Of course, in this case, to be fair, Donald Trump was an entertainment mogul before he became president.
Mm-hmm.
He owned the Miss American pageant. He ran The Apprentice. Yeah, I mean, just being fair here. No,
yeah.
I don't support him. Yes, fuck him. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's what's going on. This was posted today on thinkprogress.org. As of Friday, Alaskan businesses will no longer be allowed to pay disabled workers less than the minimum wage, which is currently $9.84 an hour. Workers who experience disabilities are valued members of Alaska's workforce, said the state's Department of Labor and Workforce Development Acting Commissioner Greg Cashin in a press release. They deserve minimum wage protections as much as any other Alaskan worker. The state announced last week it would repeal the regulation first put in place in 1978. Alaska joins New Hampshire and Maryland at first seeks to get rid of sub-minimum wage for employees with disabilities, an act which is entirely legal under federal law and has been since 1938 when the Fair Labor Standards Act was implemented. The minimum wage exception was initially created to help those with disabilities get jobs, but despite its intentions, the legislation still fell short. Disability advocates argued the law is outdated and that many disabled individuals can succeed in jobs earning minimum wage or more, and that no other class of people faces this kind of government-sanctioned wage discrimination. In addition to being paid a sub-minimum wage, employees with disabilities often perform their jobs in what are called sheltered workshops. Term is generally used to describe facilities that employ people with disabilities exclusively or primarily, but has been interpreted by disability advocates as a form of segregation in the workplace. Oh, mom may not like this one. Goodwill Industries is arguably one of the biggest offenders when it comes to exploiting this kind of wage discrimination. The company is one of the largest employers for people with disabilities, many of whom are contacted by Goodwill through the government's Ability One program, which ensures contracts are set aside for places that employ workers with disabilities. Goodwill, however, is a $5.59 billion with a B dollar organization, and many argue they can afford to pay all of their workers a fair wage. You've got entities that are doing quite well, that are raking in donations, that get government contracts to make everything from military uniforms to pens to whatever, says Chris Danielson, a spokesperson for the National Federation of the Blind, told The Nation. They get these contracts, and they're paying their workers less than the minimum wage. Goodwill's own CEO, Jim Gibbons, is blind. In 2015, he raked in more than $712,000 in salary and additional compensation, while his disabled employees were making less than $9 an hour in some states. In a comment to ABC News 13, Gibbons defended his salary and the million-dollar salaries of other Goodwill executives. At the time, Goodwill's total compensation for all its franchise CEOs was more than $30 million. These leaders are having a great impact in terms of new solutions, in terms of innovation, and in terms of job creation. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right there. You can read the rest of it because we are starting to run short. We're down to like just over 4 minutes left.
That went fast.
Uh-huh. Too fast.
Yeah. Oh, but this is now back to the story real quick. Just last week, disability activists were dealt a blow by the House of Representatives, which voted 225 to 192 in favor of a bill that would significantly weaken the Americans with Disabilities Act, letting businesses off the hook for failing to provide accessibility accommodations. Ooh, that makes me mad. It's like, seriously?
They want to work, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's getting ridiculous.
It's like they want to shut the disabled in a hole in the ground.
Mhm.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. It does. But anyway. Here's what we got for this week. Tomorrow, of course, is New Car Smell Tuesday. We'll probably have to double up since I was out sick last Tuesday. Tim will be at the rabbit hole, as per usual.
I will.
Mm-hmm. Then Wednesday, it's our review. I'll be reviewing the three Arrowverse shows, plus the Thunderbirds of Go episodes I've watched. And all you guys, be ready to review something of your own, you know? You know, like I said, it could be a book, movie. You know, book, movie, or anything.
It can be a different TV show.
Exactly.
And if two people watch the same show, then they might give two different reviews.
Would giving my opinion on Live PD count?
If they got a thing where you can put it, yes.
Got a what?
You got a suggestion box you can put it in? Yes, probably. Yeah, but let's see. And then, of course, Thursday is the free-for-all, and Friday, it is 90 minutes. Naughtiest Valentine's Day Mad Libs ever.
Woo! So, Mr. McGillicuddy, bug off.
Yeah, because seriously...
Unless you want us to make fun of you.
Yep.
Hey, Shirley?
Yeah?
How can I tell Mr. McGillicuddy to kiss my ass in Spanish?
Good question. Let me find out. Okay, I'll do this real quick. Google Translate. Let's see. All right, let's go Spanish. Let's see. Bésame el trasero.
Bésame el trasero.
Yep.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it. All right. All right, so we're running out of time, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Please remember to follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and follow us at our website, beyondtheairwaves.weebly.com. If you ever miss an episode, there are three ways to catch up. First, there's the Stitcher.com app available on iTunes, Google Play, and the Amazon Kindle store. Second, you can listen to or download full episodes of the show from blogtalkradio.com. And finally, you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search in the podcast for Beyond the Airwaves, and you'll find many of our episodes there. So, with that in mind, I'm going to say love, peace, and chicken grease. Everybody have a great night, sleep well, stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow for New Carsville Tuesday. That is it. That's all for tonight. Have a great night. And remember...
You... I almost had him. I almost had him. You stuttering prick, you.
Shut up!
All right. Let me get this.
I'm Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Groot.
Uh-huh.
I'm Groot.
Oh, shit!
Stop that little fucking thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. All right. And you know what? For the hell of it, I'm just going to do it and like this.
No.
What?
Excuse the fuck out of me.
What the hell is that?
Shit, is that what I think it is?
What in the hell are they getting gone?
Oh, my.
Oh, it has to do with something in The Mandalorian. I'll just say that and not spoil it. All right. Well, that's all for the night. Yeah, that's all for tonight. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Night, y'all.
Jana, everybody.
Jana.
Buenas noches, mis amigos.